Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The final words of the master of the house from the master of the vineyard from today's parable. Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge me my generosity? And the final words of Jesus, so the last will be first, and the first last. This is our text. The Gospel of Matthew. It shows a special interest in the parables of Jesus that have to do with debts, wages, and money. Now, it should be no surprise that the Gospel of Matthew tends toward the parables of money, because before becoming an apostle, St. Matthew had a first career as a tax collector. He had the mind of an accountant. You know, the kind of mind that won't let the checkbook sit until it's balanced to the very last penny. That's St. Matthew. I wonder if these parables, last week's parable of the unforgiving servant, today's parable of the laborers in the vineyard, I wonder if these parables caught his attention and stuck with him because they left him scratching his head. They don't quite add up. For people who like math, these parables are a real nuisance, a real pain. Accounting can handle pennies just fine, but it does a terrible job with grace. In today's parable, we see how the master is gracious with all who labor for him, no matter how long or how short they've labored. It goes like this. One day, a master hires laborers to work in his vineyard. And even though they start at different times, first start at 6 a.m., some at 9 a.m., some at noon, others at 3 p.m., and then a few at 5 p.m., just an hour before quitting time. Despite their hours being so different, the master pays them all the same. When they line up at the end of the day to receive their wages, they all receive a denarius, one day's wage. Even those fellows who spent 11/12 of the day idle in the marketplace. Now, the injustice of this isn't lost on the workers, especially the guys who started at 6. They knew the principle back then, just as we do today, of equal work, equal pay, and they felt very overworked and very underpaid. So the guys who started at 6 a.m. complain. Hey, those other guys, the ones you just paid a denarius, they only worked 1 hour and you're paying them the same as us. Why, we had to deal with the full weight of the day. We had to deal with the scorching heat with no siesta. That's not fair. And I really do sympathize with them. It isn't fair in the way we count fairness. Somewhere in Scripture, it even says the laborer deserves his wages, which would suggest that the ones who work 12 hours should get 12 hours pay, and the ones who worked 1 hour should get 1 hour pay. And that's true, as far as labor in this world is concerned. A worker is worthy of his or her hire. Employers should take note. And workers are to serve their employers, mindful that their service is being rendered to God. So hear that, all you employees. But Jesus' parable isn't about this world. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. He's not talking about the kingdom of this world, but about the kingdom of heaven. And when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, there's more than wages. There's pity. There's mercy. There's love for the least and the last. There's grace. To those who would earn their way, like that first group to be hired, To those who would earn their way, it does feel like the guys who came late have gamed the system. They get everything for doing next to nothing. That's how it seems when we view a relationship with the Lord in terms of the law. That's how it seems when we try to bring collective bargaining into the kingdom of God. If we do this for you, Lord, then we expect you to pay us that. Really? You really want to bargain with God for pennies? You do know, don't you, that the currency of this world is no good up there, right? That heaven itself is way, way beyond any reward you could imagine, you could ask for, or you could possibly deserve. Yet that's the attitude of that first wave of workers. It says that after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, the master sent them into his vineyard. Note that little word, agreeing. It almost makes it sound like these first workers are bargaining with the master until they come to an agreement on their wages. But it's so different with the workers who come later. You get the feeling that the later workers are just happy to have some work. You'll see what I mean in just a second. Now, I'm intrigued by the perspective of this parable because it's all told from the perspective of the master of the vineyard. While he agrees to hire the first workers for an agreed-on amount, did you notice how it goes with the later workers? Going out about the third hour, he, the master, saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Notice the verb. He saw them. He took note of their situation, and he was moved by what he saw, moved with compassion to bring them into the vineyard too. And even at the 11th hour, we're told that he went out and he found others standing. He goes, his initiative, and he finds them almost as if they've been lost. Now I know how it is. My initial reaction, my gut reaction, is to want to be hard on these workers. We hear that they're idle. We hear that they've been standing around the marketplace, and we want to nail them for being lazy. If you don't work, you don't eat. And that's in the Bible, too. But that's not necessarily what the word idle means here. It might mean that they're being lazy, but it could also mean that they're unemployed, unused, inactive, unwanted. In fact, when the master asks that very last group why they're standing there idle all day, did you catch what they said? Because no one has hired us. And suddenly I start to have a little sympathy for them as well. It's not like they're having the time of their life and then getting paid a full day's work. In fact, what seems most unfair to me is that these other guys spend 11 hours not having any work at all. I wonder how that felt. Were they bored standing there in the marketplace? Were they concerned about how they were going to put food on the table for their families? I bet they were tired of being unemployed, tired of standing there all day with nothing to do, tired of being passed over. I wonder if they felt a bit like dirt, unworthy. Losers, the least and the last, until the master sees them and finds them and wants them. And I wonder if that's why the master of the vineyard starts with them when he gives out the wages, to show them that they're worth something to him, that they're worth his grace, not simply what they've earned by their own work. And speaking of wages, they didn't have any formal agreement with the master. That first group agreed with him on a denarius a day, but the guys who came later, to them he simply says, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is just and right, I'll give you." No contract. He says even less to the last group, just, "You go into the vineyard." They don't even know what they'll get paid, almost as if they're not working for the pay. They're working on trust. They have faith that the master will indeed give them a just salary. They believe that the Master is a man of his word. They have faith in him. That seems about right for the kingdom of heaven. When the Master calls you to work, go and trust him to make it right in the end. Trust him to reward you and pay you and give you what is just and good according to his grace. Trust him to crown the work he gives you with his own reward. So do you still want to grumble and complain? Do you still think that you're overworked and underpaid by God? Would you envy the guys who spent all day doing nothing, doing no good? Would you look with evil on the Master who is good and on the grace that he shows to the last and the least? It only makes sense to grumble if we think of work as a drudgery. It only makes sense to grumble if we think that being idle in the marketplace is better than being with the Lord in his vineyard. It only makes sense to grumble if we prefer being self-employed about our own business and our own work to being employed by the Lord for his work and his purposes. But if God means work to truly be a joy and delight, if God fills work with meaning and purpose for those engaged in it, if the Christian life is actually good and beneficial, and living according to God's word is a blessing, then it's those entering the vineyard at the last hour who've lost out and missed something. They only get 1/12 the joy of being in the vineyard. But thank God, he still gives them that denarius in the end. It's eternal life for all who heed the Master's call, even if this life wasn't all it should have been or it could have been. In other words, the person who heeds the call only on his deathbed hasn't gotten away with anything, good or worthwhile except grace. He's missed out on a lifetime of living and working in the vineyard. And if God wills to give that last worker, as he gives to you who came earlier, isn't that his to do? As the Master says, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? So who are we to complain about grace? You and I both know that none of us are getting in based on our works, no matter how good they've been or how many we've done. Whatever he gives to us by grace. And the Master has earned the right to be as gracious and generous as he wants with whomever he wills, to be generous even with the least and the last, and to do what he chooses with what belongs to him. He's earned that right by laying down his life for all who labor and toil and work, as well as for all who are idle and unwanted and last and least. It's grace at the price of his blood. And what has he chosen to do with what belongs to him? He chooses to give it to you. He wills that you have it. The forgiveness of sins from the mouth of his called and ordained servant right into your ears. Life and salvation given by his word with his own body and blood and placed directly into your mouth. Which of us will complain when our ears and our mouths are stuffed full of grace? So take up his call to enter into his vineyard and work in whatever little corner he's given to you. Use the tools that he puts into your hands. Do the labor that he sets before you, whether in the vineyard of your home or your community or your church. And see it as work that comes from him, as work that is done for him, and as work that is done with him. Rejoice that you've been given these opportunities to labor and do good, and rejoice with the others who get to join in the work, even if it's at the last hour. It's more than wages in the kingdom of heaven, dear friends. It's grace, first to last, and top to bottom. And great indeed will be Christ's reward, the reward he shares with you. The reward that comes from his bleeding, his dying, his rising and living and working and loving. So the last will be first, and the first will be last. And whether first or last, he wants us, and he sees us, and he finds us, and he calls us, and we'll be thankful to have even a denarius from him. In Jesus' name, amen.